Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Wow, why don't you give Jesus a clap offering, all of you? Wow. It is a blessing to be here tonight. Amen. And I have looked forward to being here for a long time. I've looked forward to being here for a long time, and it hasn't happened because you people didn't invite me. Okay, that's not true. Hallelujah. But it is good to be here, and it's good to see all of you, some of the faces I know, and others I'm yet to know. But it's a blessing. Amen.
Amen.
I don't think I've been here since you moved here. So that sounds like a long time indeed. Isn't it? Yeah. So I thank God for all of your lives. And I thank God that you are still here.
Amen.
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 Because in the Lord, after you get to know the Lord, the next important thing is remaining in the Lord. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Continuing to do something is probably more important than even starting to do it. You get it? Because if you cannot continue to do something that you have begun, then there is almost no point in beginning. Do you get it? Because for most things, the benefit is not in beginning. It's in as you continue to do it. Do you get it? For example, if you got into your car tonight and the purpose was to go home, do you get it? It is not getting into your car and starting the engine that gets you home. You get it? But when you get into your car and you start the engine and you start going, if you fall asleep on the way, you're done for. You will call a different place home. You see, you may be lying in a bed, but it won't be your bed. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, the reason why you did not get home was not because you didn't get into the right car. You were in the right car. It was not because you didn't start driving, because you started to drive. But the problem is that you couldn't continue what you started. Do you get it?
Yeah.
So, for most things that we do, the benefit actually is not in starting it. It's in your ability to continue it. That is why Jesus said that before you start anything, sit down first and count the cost to see if you have enough to finish it. You get it? And if you don't plan to finish it, then don't even start it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because anytime people start something they don't finish, they cause more trouble than not starting it. Yeah. Have you been in a relationship with someone before who it looks like that particular one is quite common? You see that you wish you hadn't started. Because if you hadn't started, you wouldn't be hurting the way you're hurting. You would still be you. He or she would still be him or her. Do you see what I'm saying? But they started something which they could not continue. And now that they didn't continue and have stopped it in the middle, they have left you worse off. Are you getting it? You would have been better off left alone. Are you getting what I'm sharing with you? So, your ability to continue anything, take another one, school. You say you want to be a nurse or a physical therapist, huh? Or a radiologist technician, or whatever you say you want to be. So you've gone to take a loan. You've gone to school for, the course is 4 years, and you have done 2 of it. You have paid. You see, now in the middle of it, you say that you won't do it anymore. So now we don't know what you are, because have you ever seen a job advertised for attempted anything? Attempted nurses wanted. Have you seen any job like that? Almost nurse jobs. Almost therapist jobs. You have studied enough biology. You don't know whether you're a biology teacher or... No one knows what to do with you, because you started and you didn't finish. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? You started and you didn't finish. There are people who started this year with us in the church, but now we're in December. They are no longer here. Do you see what I'm saying? So it's not the starting. That is why Jesus said that the one who endures to the end shall receive the crown of life. Do you understand? Do you know that for anything we do, the reward for doing it could have been given at the beginning? That as long as you have signed up for nursing school, once you've come, let's give you your certificate to start with. Do you understand? Yeah. We give you, that's the first day, we give you your certificate. Uh-huh. And then we just trust that you will finish. Do you know any certificate that is given at the beginning? Only marriage. Only marriage. They give you that certificate before you start. Do you see? Yeah. They give you the certificate before you start. Amen.
Amen.
But there is nothing else whose reward comes at the beginning. So Jesus said, he that endures to the end shall receive a crown of life. And you wonder, he even say he that continues to the end, but it's the one who endures. Endurance is a word you use when you want to suggest to people that it's not easy. Isn't it?
Yeah.
When someone says you endured something, it means you resisted the temptation to remove yourself from the thing. Do you understand? Yeah. That's what it means to be enduring.
Amen.
And the Christian life is... Oh, sit down. I've already started preaching. Sorry. Amen. Okay, when I finish preaching, I'll bring a greeting. Because I see you're expecting me to bring greetings. And you're expecting me maybe to pray also to start. Okay, I'll do all that when we finish. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you guys with me tonight?
Yes.
What was I saying before I greeted you?
Endurance.
Endurance. You have to have an ability to endure. The Christian life is like that. You see, I'm sharing this with you because we are coming to the end of another year. Do you understand? And we are about to begin again. In a few weeks, maybe 2-3 weeks, the year is going to end. And we're going to enter a new year, 2015. Do you understand? Yeah. And you need to approach the new year with a mind and a resolve to endure. Are you getting what I'm saying? Do you realize that all the nice Christian words that we like, do you see, like victory? Huh? Victory, like overcomer, like breakthrough. Do you realize that all these words imply a fight? Breakthrough means what? It means that there is something that was stopping you and you were able to break through it. Victory is not a word you use unless you are implying that you've been fighting. Victory is something you can never have or taste without an opponent. You can't have victory if you don't have a fight. Victory is for fighters. So any Christian who says, I am a victorious Christian, means that you are a fighting Christian. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? Yeah. To be an overcomer. To be an overcomer. What does it mean? To come over. That's overcomer. If you have to come over it, then it means it was intended to stop you. It means it's an obstacle. It means it's in your way. What I find is that many Christians do not do well because they don't have a Christian life that expects obstacles, that expects challenges, that expects temptations not to continue. Many of us have a Christian life that does not include, we don't have any room at all for things not going as we expected them to go. Yeah. We don't have any stamina at all for difficult times. We don't have stamina for trials, for temptations, for praying prayers that were not answered, for expecting breakthroughs that never came, for getting offended in the church, getting offended by the pastor, getting offended by your fellow brothers and sisters in the church. I mean, our expectations of the Lord and the church do not include any of these things at all. So then what was the victory about? How could you have expected that you would have victory without a fight? How could you have ever said or imagined that you would pass a test without taking one?
I passed the test.
You will just come around and wave your certificate and say, I have passed the test without being tested. How could you have expected that? How could you have expected that you would come to a place where you would be victorious when there has been no fight or there has been no temptation? That is like calling something durable because it's been lying on the shelf. Can you imagine that somebody has a bag? Do you have a bag? Yeah, I'm sure your lady pastor is one of these. Hey! It's like a suitcase. Hey! even the weight alone. Because Michael is more than a hand luggage. You hold it. See, this is checking. You have to change. This one, they won't even let you take it to the plane. This you have to check in, I tell you. If your lady pastor has a bag like this, and one day we say that this bag is durable, we say this bag is durable, do we mean that this bag, since it was bought, it has been folded and put somewhere, never used, never touched, never seen rain, never seen water, never seen anything? It's just been hiding in the corner. Nobody ever used it. Then after 2 years, we bring it and we say, oh wow, it's very durable. Is that what we mean by durable? How many of you have some things that you can say have been durable? You have some shoes. Who has some shoes that you can say, as for this shoe, it has been durable? Huh? Who has the shoe that has been durable? Who has this one? This one. Come. You just come. Please come. Come and introduce your shoe to us. Bring your shoe along. Okay. This shoe, you say it's durable. Why do you say that?
Because I've had it for a long time. For a long time, yes.
And you've been keeping it in your closet.
Oh, no. I've been wearing it.
You've been wearing it?
Yes.
How often do you wear the shoe?
Oh, very often.
Every day.
Yes.
Has this shoe seen some rain?
Oh yes. Snow.
Seen rain?
Yes.
It's seen snow.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
You
only
wear the shoe in the winter.
Oh no. Summer, every day.
You wear the shoe in the summer also.
Yes.
So it's seen heat.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Cold.
Yes, Bishop.
This shoe.
Mm-hmm.
Cold.
Cold. Wow. Heat. Everything.
Rain.
Yes.
Are you sure?
Oh, yes. Very sure.
So you said this shoe, mm-hmm, after having been through all those things, it's still here.
Yes.
It goes to grocery store.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It goes to school. It goes to where?
Camps.
Mm-hmm. It goes to
Mohammed. What a shock.
There are some shoes you have, they only come Sunday if you take them. The shoe will be so offended by it, and that will be your last time. It will never go anywhere with you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? A word that is applied to people who have not been tested. Hope. Faithful doesn't mean that nothing has happened. Faithful means that you are around and still in good shape, because that's the whole thing about your shoe. The whole thing about your shoe is how... Look, at the end of the service, Everybody buy this. She has to show us where she bought the shoe. All of us need a shoe like that. One shoe that is rain boots, snow boots, everything at the same time. Are you guys understanding what I'm sharing with you? Yeah. So when you say someone is faithful, you do not mean that nothing has happened, Nancy. You do not mean that the person has been kept and protected and no one has touched you, no one has offended you, nobody has said anything that hurt you, nobody has given you cause not to want to be around, nobody has tempted you, nobody has tried you, no situation has messed you up, has flustered you and freaked you out. That's not what we mean by faithful. Are you getting it? That's not what we mean by faithful. Faithful means that in spite of what happened, and in spite of the temptation not to continue, in spite of the strong edge and the strong feeling to end it right now, you still continue. That is what we mean by faithfulness. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? That is what we mean by faithfulness. It means that even though you have been through many things, even though you've been exposed to many things, even though you've been tempted by many things, do you understand? So I see a lot of people as a pastor, I see a lot of people who will say that, look, I was around and I was, you know, doing well until this happened. Do you understand? Yes. Yeah. So I was a faithful person until it happened. It's like her shoe saying that I was a very durable shoe until she wore me. Do you get it?
Yeah.
No, you were not faithful. It was rather what happened that was giving you an opportunity to prove whether you were faithful or not. And the fact that you didn't survive what happened is the proof that you were actually not faithful. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, it's the proof that you are actually not faithful. That is what it means. How many understand what I'm sharing with you tonight? Yeah. So when you are a Christian, you need to develop stamina. Christian stamina for being in the faith for a long time. For being a Christian for a long time. For belonging to your church for a long time. Through many different experiences, many different rebukes, many different hurts, many different offenses. And I'm saying all the negative ones because it is the negative ones that tempt us to go away. It's not the positive experiences. It's not the weddings. Do you understand? It's not the weddings. It's not the baby dedications. It's not the baby showers. It is rather the fights, the quarrels, the gossips, the slander, the hurts, the pain, you know, the disappointments, the frustrations, you know, the resentment and the hatred and the little bickering and quarreling that happens in all churches everywhere. Do you know why there's quarreling with all in every church? Because churches are made up of people. It is people that quarrel, not church buildings. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, the only reason why there will be quarrels here is because there are people here. If you like, come here when we have closed. Open the door and see if there's any quarrel here. See if you see any of these chairs fighting with each other. Or the instruments criticizing the chairs and the chairs criticizing the instruments. There's nothing like that. The quarrels come only when the people come. So it's a people thing. That is why when you are not happy in one church and you leave to go to another church, usually you will be unhappy over there too. Because the unhappiness is a you thing. It's not the place thing. Are you getting what I'm saying? It is something that is with you. It's not something that is in the place. Hallelujah. I'm encouraging you tonight to develop stamina. Do you understand? And to have an ability to endure and to be around for a long time in spite of what happens, through ups and downs. The beauty of life is ups and downs. That is the beauty of life. Mountains are defined by valleys. It is because there is a valley by its side that you can call this a mountain. Do you understand? You need this side to come down, and you need that side to come down. Then you get a hill. And the deeper it is, the more beautiful this is. So you can't have, life is not like Oklahoma, flat land. Hey! Because when I was landing on the plane was coming, I said, what place is this? That everywhere is flat. Hey! That's why tornadoes like to come here. Because they cannot climb any, there's no mountain to climb. But where I'm coming from, in California, it's a mountain, then it's a valley, then it's a mountain, then it's a valley, then it's a mountain, it's a valley. That's how you get to the airport. You don't like mountains and valleys, you're not going to the airport. Are you understanding what I'm sharing? And when you're driving, you have to have an ability to climb, then you have to have an ability to descend, then you have to have an ability to go up again. And just when you think it's over, you're coming down again. Then just when you think it's down, you go up again. That is how life is. That is life. Look, what I'm sharing with you is so important. It's important even for your marriage. See, some of you entered marriage not expecting to have any sad days or crying days. Do you get it? Especially because the certificate had been given to you at the beginning. So many married people said, if I knew that the thing was so bad, I wouldn't have accepted the certificate. I wouldn't have accepted the certificate if I knew that it was going to be up and down like this. Do you see? So what happens is that many people who are married, they start to give their marriage a bad label. Do you understand? When the marriage is just being itself. Do you understand? It's just normal. It's just being what marriage is. Do you understand? I mean, how could you mix two lives without... Have you seen any two things that mix without shaking? Can you mix two things without applying some force to stir? You can't, don't, no two things will mix without shaking. So you have two lives that are mixing together. Expect some shaking. A little shaking that is necessary to let the thing mix properly with itself. Do you understand? And this shaking is not evil, it's just the mixing process. Doesn't mean you married a devil. You didn't marry a devil. You just married. That's what it is. Yeah. Even you are by yourself. You live alone. Even you and you. You see that it's not easy. Is it not true that there are days when you don't feel like talking to you? Do you not have days when you feel like yourself has come? Your things have come. Hey, you are in the apartment by yourself You have the day off and you don't feel like seeing anybody, not even you. You won't get out of your bed. You won't go to the bathroom. You don't want to see the mirror. When you go and you see the mirror, you are angry. Yeah, you just came out of your bed and you go to the mirror and you see the image in the mirror. You are angry at the image in the mirror. You don't like her hair. You see her hair is falling out. You pull your cheek like that. Yeah, and then you start to insult yourself. You just pull your cheek like that. See, some people grab a part of their belly like that. They pinch a part of their belly like that. And then they just try to pull it. And when it's not coming, they just drop it. Just angry at yourself. And that's just you by yourself. Just you and you. You versus you in the apartment. You're putting on your clothes and you do the thing and it's not good. You suck your tummy in and you try to do it. Trying to get your jeans on and it's still not. And it's still not fitting. You get it? Yeah, and you start to think, in spite of everything you've been doing, they say you should walk around the building, you walk around. They say you should join the gym, you've gone to the gym. They've charged you gym fees that you have not even paid off. Your credit card still has gym fees on it. You get it? You've done everything they say you should do. They say you shouldn't eat after 7 o'clock. You've come to this apartment. You close from work at 9. You get to the apartment at 9:30. You are so hungry. But they say you shouldn't eat after 7 o'clock. So you didn't eat. You went to bed like that. After 3 months of such living, you look at yourself. You look like you have even become bigger. You ask yourself, what again should I do? Just you by yourself. It's not easy. I imagine when we add you to another person who for him also is not easy. Because he's also wondering. They said if you come to America, you prosper. He has been here for 15 years. He has not prospered. They say he should go to school for pharmacy technician. He has finished pharmacy technicians. By the time he finished pharmacy technician, all the pharmacy technician jobs were finished. Then he heard that now the people they are hiring are radiography technicians. He heard that yesterday. So he said he's going to find a school where they learn radiography. Then he went to the school. By the time he finished after 3 years, they said that job also, they don't hire people like that anymore. Yeah. Oil and gas. Now they say oil and gas. So as he's approaching the oil and gas, he's saying, this thing, I've seen some before. The only thing that comes naturally to him is his interest in you. That's the only thing left. But as in a drive to move forward, a drive to sort of advance and improve himself and to become something, all of that is depleted. Do you understand? The only thing that is remaining is a natural biological instinct that God put in him so that the human race can continue. Do you understand? That's the only thing that he has left. And he has directed that in your direction. So as he's coming to come and mix his frustrations with your disappointments, hey, How can you expect that it will be smooth? It's not going to be easy. Do you understand? But it doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. When something is difficult, it does not mean it's not to be done. It just means you need to bring strength to it. It means you need to be intentional about doing it. It means it will not naturally accomplish itself. It means it calls for effort and determination, you know, and relentless pursuit to be attained. That is what it means. Anything. And your membership of a church, or your Christian life for that matter, is the same. The fact that the Christian life is not easy does not mean it's not meant for you. It just means that it is not something that will come naturally. It will not, you will not attain it by itself. You can't put your Christian life on cruise control and fall asleep. Do you see what I'm saying? It calls for active pursuit, relentless pursuit. You have to apply yourself relentlessly in the cold, in the heat. I feel like it, I don't feel like it. I'm hurt, I'm offended. I want to leave, I'm not going. Whatever it takes, you have to work yourself through all the different stages and different phases in order for you to be sitting here this time next year to say that I have made it one more year. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I was thinking recently. See, I gave my life to Christ when I was about 12 years old. Yes. I went to boarding school and there was a little boy there who was my classmate. And I just admired his life. And I said, I want to be like this child. You know. And so I followed him. That took me to Scripture Union. And I gave my life to Christ. Since that day, you see, when I followed that boy, the thing looked beautiful to me. But I didn't know that behind all that beauty, there's also a struggle. Yeah. A struggle to read your Bible every day. A struggle. Yes. Especially now that the Bible is on one of these. By the time you take your iPad, Facebook has already told you who has written on your timeline and has even given you the first three words that the person wrote. Do you understand? Yeah. How tempting. But your Bible hasn't written any such thing. The Bible is an app that you have to go into to go and find. But not so with Facebook. Facebook has given you notifications. And they are on there. And you can see all of them. I go through that temptation too all the time. Yeah. It doesn't stop anywhere. The temptations don't stop for anybody. They don't stop because you're a bishop. They don't stop because you are reverend. They don't stop because you have become a shepherd. Or that you sing in the choir. We all are subject to the same things. And we have to fight on a daily basis. And win our battles one after the other. In order to have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? Yeah. So just like you struggle to read your Bible sometimes. I also struggle to read my Bible. And I also have to take it and say, you know, I'm going to read you. Yeah. Because one day I was watching TV and then a certain preacher with a very big name, he came on the TV and he said that sometimes when he takes his Bible, he struggles to read it. He's falling asleep. Then he said one day he took his Bible and as he was falling asleep, he opened the pages and he looked at the Bible and said, you, I'm going to read you. Yeah. And since I saw that thing, I said, hey, The devil is not afraid. Even this big man. You know? And I became very encouraged. I became encouraged to know that, you know, it's not easy at any level. Do you understand? That is why the crown of glory is for the ones who have endured to the end. Because everybody will have to endure something. Everybody will have to survive something. Nobody gets promoted to do anything without a test. You cannot go from one level to another without a test, without something testing you and trying you to confirm what sort you are. The purpose of a test is not to pull you down. It's the enemy that uses tests to pull you down. But as for God, a test is for verification, is for confirming that you are what you are, that it is what it is. Do you understand? Even you, when you are in your house and you cook, how many of you cook? How many of you know how to cook? Your pastor raised his hand towards his wife. I don't know what that means. Hope, what do you think it means? You are in a church and they ask a question and then the pastor aggressively raises his hand towards his wife. What does it mean? That she does all the cooking. Hallelujah. But when you are in the house, you in your kitchen, you assemble your own ingredients. You brought the tomato, you brought the oil, you brought the onion, you brought everything together, and you mix it together. Why don't you assume that it tastes as you intended it to taste? Do you understand my question? Nobody has come from anywhere to touch your thing. Since you started this thing, you have been with it from the beginning to this time. Why don't you just assume that whatever you said you were making is what you have made? And confidently bring it and serve it to other people. Nancy, you wouldn't take that chance. No. So you see, even you, you like to take a little bit, taste it, to see if it is what you said it is supposed to be. And are you not surprised that sometimes even you are surprised? Yeah. You are surprised at the outcome. When I was in college, my roommate one day, when I came from class, he said he has cooked. But before I approached the food, he told me, he said, there's only one thing wrong with the food. I said, what is the one thing wrong with the food? He said, he doesn't know. But the thing, he said, you can't eat it. When food has failed the eating test, there's more than one thing wrong with it. When food has failed to pass the test of the only reason why it was made, then it is not food. But my roommate still said that he has made food. You know, it is as I walked towards it that he said, let me give you a warning. And the thing, he said, I don't know what is wrong with it. But it cannot be eaten. You can't eat it. Yeah. And sometimes you see, after you have cooked, you realize that the food you have cooked, maybe you cannot eat it. Do you understand? Yeah. So you don't even bring it near visitors. You know why sometimes God doesn't use us? Because you are not tested. To use you, juicy, in your untested form, is like Nancy taking a chance with her food that she hasn't tasted and serving it to me as I've come to visit her. Can you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So sometimes God doesn't want to take chances with you. That is why he needs you tested. That is why God needs you tested. That is why you need some trials. That is why it becomes difficult sometimes. That is why it's challenging sometimes. That's why you feel like stopping sometimes. That's why you feel like quitting sometimes. Most of the time, at the point you feel like stopping is just when the test is about to be over. Yeah. Have you seen someone running a race? When you watch people running a race, you see them coming towards the finishing line. They even stop running before they hit the rope. Yeah. You see, as the person is coming toward the finishing line, you can see that the desire to stop has become so strong. But that's just about when you're winning the race. And some people are good at that because they know that many people quit towards the end. They quit mentally. The body is moving, but the mind has stopped running. Do you understand? And so some smart runners keep all their energy for that moment, because they know that if at that moment, when you are sort of retiring, if they can come up with a little strength, they can take the crown from you. And many times they do. They run with all their strength when you are just about quitting. They run with all their strength to take the crown that has belonged to you throughout the race. Are you understanding my message tonight? I want to encourage you guys tonight. As we are getting ready to enter a new year, come up with new strength and new resolve. Not just that you have started, but that you will continue. Because continuing is more important than starting. Continuing is more important than starting. So you got married, you had a wedding, it's great, but can you stay married? Do you understand? That's where it's at. You didn't marry to have a wedding. That's not why you got married. The purpose of marriage is to be able to live with the person. The marriage is just the entry and the ushering into the real thing. So when you can't do the real thing, but you can do the entering, you can do the wedding, but you can't do the living, then you have actually failed. Are you getting what I'm saying? You have actually failed. That is why we all need to put ourselves together and strengthen ourselves. Hallelujah. And have a mind that has room for difficult times. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. There'll be days, I tell you, there'll be days when you'll be in church, you just wonder, what's all this about? Even me, sometimes. I also sometimes I wake up in the morning, I say, you know what? Today I feel like sleeping. Honestly. Today is not preaching for me. I feel like I want to sleep. Yeah, I feel like I want to sleep. I feel like I want to... The other day I had some strange feeling. And I was asking myself, where is this one also from? I've forgotten what it was, but to do something that I don't even usually do. But it was just a strange feeling. I asked myself, is it midlife crisis or some type of something I'm going through that I don't know? I am sharing this with you because I want you to know that anyone you see making it is not a superman, is not a superwoman, is just somebody who has decided to win their battles one after the other. Amen. As they come, one after the other. Are you understanding what I'm saying? One after the other, to win our battles one after the other. That is what it takes. And to be a Christian, so many battles. To be a victorious Christian, the more victories you want, the more fights you're calling for. Yeah. I tell you, the more victories you want to have, the more fights you're calling for. Yes. You see them boxers, they will say, he's the guy is like 30-time heavyweight champion. He has fought 30 fights and has won all. Well, do you know what it means to be that kind of a heavyweight champion? 30 times. 30 times you were in a ring. 1, 2, 3, 4. You can't run anywhere. And you see, I used to think that boxing just means this. It was when I grew up that I realized that this is actually means you are running away. I thought that just the nature of boxing. But if you see real boxing, the whole idea is to punch somebody. You don't need to hop to punch. But the hopping is to make you swift-footed so that you can run. And then you see them, they come like that. Then they come like that. The guy is resting. There is nowhere to go. Nowhere. Because when you pass here, the guy is coming. When you come here, he's coming. Hey! And he's coming, closing in. And his vision is just one. To give you a punch that will knock you out. Hey! How do you escape? So you see, they say the thing is 3 minutes. It looks like 3 days. Each round is 3 minutes. It feels like 3 days. Hey, you find a way of trying to hop and trying to hop and trying to dodge. And then when the person is not looking, you throw a fake one. And then you just come and you see. And then when they ring the bell, as soon as they ring the bell, you just... You go to your corner. Hey, 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 hey. You see, when they even give them water, they can't drink. Have you seen it? It's not easy. Hey, then they ask the guy, how many rounds? How many more rounds? Then they'll say 10. Say, hey. Then before he can finish resting, the other guy has come already. Hey. And then eventually they call him the champion. It's not without a fight. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Are you being encouraged by what I'm sharing with you tonight? It will not be without a fight. Some of you have tried so many things. I just want to say to you, don't stop trying. Just keep trying. Some of you have written exams so many times, and you have not passed those exams, and you are just about to quit. But I came to tell you, don't quit. Don't give it up. Don't give it up. God never promised us a life without a fight. Did you know that when God is post one of your fights, it's a major fight. Keep trying. Keep trying. Keep trying. Keep trying. Because you want to be a shepherd. And you want to do something for God. That is how come post came your way. It is only because you want to do something for God. Do you understand? And anybody who is going to work for God must be tested. How would you like it if you got sick? You came to the hospital, they admitted you. Then here comes this nurse. She comes around. My name is Susan, you know. I've never passed my nursing exam. I never even took one before. But I'm going to try to take care of you. And I'm trusting that by the grace of God, I'll be able to do something. Please, where's the injection? Bring the... Would you like a nurse like that? Would you like a nurse like that? Yeah. But it's amazing how people want to be given a chance to take care of people that were redeemed by somebody's blood. Do you understand? You were not paid for by any blood. You didn't pay your school fees with blood. But somebody has shed his blood to redeem people unto himself. And you want a chance to look after those people without a test. When you won't give yourself, even you won't allow a nurse to draw your blood who didn't go to nursing school. The person said, well, as for me, I didn't go to nursing school. I went to driving school. But just that I like looking after people. You know, I have a passion, you know. So as I'm here on my passion. You get it? And you will soon taste of my passion. How would you like such a person to look after you? Yeah? If a doctor took some medication, he wants to, you know, inject you with it or prescribe it for you, and he's really, he can't even see it. He says, I don't know, this thing is chloram something. It's okay, just give me your bottom, let me... Let me just inject you. I don't know what it is. What is it? I don't know. It's just something. Just something. It's okay. It's chloram something. It's just turn your bottom. Just let me inject you. Would you allow that? But why do we want to have shepherds who don't know the verses in the Bible? But they want to be counselors. We don't, they say it's somewhere in the Bible. It's, I think, you say, who, Samson, I think he's in Revelation or something. He's in the Bible. He's in the Bible. And such people want to take care of God's people. Can you understand it? Yes? That's the only reason why you have to do posts, is to give you yourself even a chance to know. Do you understand? Yeah. The Bible says, listen, the Bible says, study to show what? To show who? Uh-huh. So you need the test for yourself. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Hallelujah. So I really want to encourage you, you know, as for the post, it came in because somebody threw it in. But I just want to encourage you about life itself and about your Christian life. Do you understand? That you need to develop stamina. Do you get it? You need to have a heart that can survive difficult things, that can survive challenges, can survive disappointments. Do you understand? Someone said they will marry you and they didn't marry you. It doesn't have to be the end of you. Amen. Are you getting what I'm saying? It doesn't have to be the end of you. It doesn't have to be the end of you. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah. Or you got married to someone and it didn't turn out the way you expected. Listen, that was you before the marriage. You were alive fully before the marriage. You see, when you marry somebody, it's like you get on a bus and you sit next to somebody. Do you understand? Or you are sitting on the bus and the person comes to join you. Do you understand? Now, when somebody sits next to you on the bus, sometimes it makes the journey really nice. Other times, it makes the journey sour. You get it? But in both cases, what is true is that the person is not the reason for your journey. He's not the reason why you got on the bus. You were on the bus and he came to join you. Do you understand? Huh? So being on the bus does not require his, you know, his pleasure and his compromise. You see, it doesn't require that to be validated. Do you understand? You are on the bus and you are on the bus and on the bus you will be. Do you understand? If he comes and joins you on the bus and he's flowing and he's chatting and it's a nicer journey, so be it. If he comes to sit on the bus and he's as quiet as a dead body and won't talk to you and won't flow with you, listen, it's not. It doesn't mean you should get off the bus because of that. And some of you have stopped living because of the bad relationship. Yeah. The person went away and it's as though they took a chunk of you with them. But you were alive. You were you before he ever came into your life. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. That's why, you see, there are some of you, you give up too much too quickly. You, what I mean is you give too much of yourself too quickly to someone who hasn't even made any serious commitments to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So when the person does what is just normal, because the person was just testing. Can you imagine every time you go to a dealership and you test drive a car, they say, take it. You have to take it. Huh? Yeah. But do you realize that when you sit in the car and the guy goes on the test drive with you, he doesn't want you to take it too far. Yeah. It's not now that you're going to visit your auntie and and visit your uncles and you've decided to go to Houston and you are going to this place all because you are trying to see if the car will work. No, they take you just around the block like this and they say it's enough. They bring you back to the dealership. They say, now put your money down. Do something to show that you are serious. Say, the test that you've had is enough. But you see, many of us are in pain because we have allowed people. They drove us to Houston and took us to Kansas. And they took so many, so much. You've given so much of yourself to someone who has put nothing down. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. You are living with someone. You are living with someone. The person put nothing down. Nothing. Zero. And the person has the privileges of someone who has put everything down. Can you imagine that? Which car dealership will allow you to do that? Will allow you to have the same privileges you who just passed by. They will let you have the car, take it home for the weekend. And enjoy it. Just take it home for the weekend. Take it anywhere you want to go. And he's gone to Houston. Then you see, he said he's going, taking the car to New York. He's gone very far with the car. And when he comes back and the car is all dusty and everything, he says, you know something? The acceleration, the power, it's not so, it's not very, you know, so when he has well tried the car, then he leaves it. Do you understand what I'm saying? You allowed him to keep the car too long, to go too far with it. All smart dealerships, I tell you, they will round you around the block. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Say, it's enough to make your decision. Yes. And some of you ladies, you have to do that. You just, it's enough. One, went out on a date, that's one. Went out on a second date, that's two. Huh? Then I gave you a ride. You gave me a ride. It's enough. Yeah. Says no, but I need to see what's under the sky. Say, hey, that's Houston. That's Houston. Now you want to go to New York. That's too far. This place, you cannot come here without signing something. Ah. Can you go into Walmart? Walmart. Do you have Walmart here? Huh? You don't have Walmart. Supercenter. Let me ask you, can you go into Walmart and take a loaf of bread to your house without a paper covering it? Huh? Have you realized how you go to Walmart and after you've taken your loaf of bread and you have paid for it, there's a man at the door who wants to see a piece of paper to show that this bread really is entitled to going home with you. Huh? If even bread cannot go into your house without a piece of paper covering it, how come you, a whole grown up, you are staying in somebody's house for 2 years, there's no paper covering you? Can somebody take you to his, he just carry you, somebody's daughter, somebody has raised you, somebody has looked after you, and someone can just take you to their house to live there for 2 years without any paper covering it? When bread from Walmart cannot go much is the bread? 99 cents. And they want to see the paper. Tell somebody you are far more valuable than 99 cents. Are you guys understanding what I'm saying? Yeah? And the brothers who do that must also be careful. Because that's not how you show that you love somebody. When you love somebody, you will treat them a little better than Walmart bread. So if you respect the loaf of bread from Walmart enough to stop by the counter and tell her and give the person something for the bread that you are taking with you to your house, you respect the bread enough to go through that process, then here is this human being that you claim to love, that you have zero respect for. You want to take her to your house with no receipt. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? You are far more valuable than a loaf of bread. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, you're more valuable than that. So if you've had a bad experience in a relationship, don't worry. What I'm saying is that you are tougher than that. Amen. You get it? One relationship that didn't go well cannot define your life. It cannot arrest you. It should not put you in handcuffs and give you a new label under which you are walking and living the rest of your life. That's not how it goes. Christ came to die to put more value on you than that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Prepare for a tough life. I don't know what 2015 is coming with, but I want you to prepare yourself with strength. And say to yourself that by the grace of God, come this time next year, I'm still going to be here. I am going to be faithful. In the rain, in the shine, and in the sun, whatever happens, whatever comes my way, I'm going to trust God to continue to be around, to continue to be in the church, to continue to be in the faith, to continue to be in Christ, and to continue to be serving the Lord. I'll be right here doing what I do in the church, serving God to the best of my ability, and doing it year after year after year until Jesus comes and takes me to heaven. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That must be the mind you have. That must be your vision as a Christian. That must be your heart as a Christian. And be determined that no matter what the enemy rolls your way, I'm going to be around. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to continue. I'm going to be strong. And I will, in the end, approach him. And you know, he will say to you, well done. Well done. Nobody says well done to someone for nothing. When is the last time you saw somebody at the train station? Oh, well done. You just meet somebody at random. Well done. Nobody says that to anybody for nothing. And you bet that when Christ sees you and he says, well done, you can be sure that it will be loaded with meaning. Yes. He will have 1,000 reasons to tell you, well done. It will be a well-deserved well done because you have really done well. So keep doing. Amen? Amen. Keep working. Keep running. Keep coming. Keep serving. Keep singing, keep dancing, keep leading worship, keep praying, and keep serving in the house of God. One day, he will see you and he will say, come here. And say, you, well done. Hallelujah. Said, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. Good and faithful. Good means you did it well. Faithful means that you continue to do it in spite of temptations to stop it. So there are two different rewards. Good is a reference to skill, but faithful is a reference to endurance. Do you understand? Because for you to do anything well. You need both the skill, the ability to do it well, and the ability to continue doing it when the conditions are not favorable. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Yes. You don't just have to have, like you have a car, it drives well if there's no rain. No. That's not what you're looking for. You want a car that drives well. Then when the conditions don't favor it, it's still driving. So when he says good and faithful, he means you work well. But he also means that you work well under different conditions. That's where you end the faithful. So some people are good, but they are not faithful. Do you see what I'm saying? So I want you to strive that in this year, you're going to be good and faithful. Hallelujah. Good at what you do and faithful at what you do. Stand to your feet tonight and let's bring the service to a close. Hallelujah.